Barney Hall wasn't ready to go. He thought he was. The radio man had traveled the world as a youngster in the Navy. He traveled the United States as a broadcaster, chasing and covering the NASCAR circuit. He'd seen so much more than he could have ever expected as he grew up in Elkin, North Carolina, a hamlet of barely 4,000 people sandwiched in the hills of Wilkes County, where moonshiners first birthed stock car racing.
That's ESPN The Magazine senior writer Ryan McGee reading from his remembrance of his friend and former colleague, NASCAR announcer Barney Hall. Hall was 83 years old when he died this week. McGee's story takes place not on the track, but somewhere in the air over southern Michigan.
This is sometime in the 1970s. You have three gentlemen. You have a legendary racer in David Pearson who's flying the plane and who, quite honestly, hasn't done a lot of flying at this point. You have Dick Brooks, who was not a great race car driver, but was a great storyteller and about to become a radio broadcaster. And then Barney Hall. And Barney was never a race car driver. He was a radio man. Pearson just bought a prop plane and said, I'm going to start flying to the racetrack. Hey, I'm a race car driver. Flying a plane can't be much different, right? Now, he may have been the greatest stock car driver of all time. But at this point, Pearson was still somewhat of a rookie pilot.
So with a rookie pilot at the controls of a prop plane on its way from Spartanburg, South Carolina, to the Michigan International Speedway, Barney Hall began to tell his life story.
You know, here's a man that grew up in the hills of North Carolina, right along the border of Virginia, where, you know, Junior Johnson, who became a great friend of Barney Hall, all these guys were bootleggers. They were moonshine runners. This is where NASCAR started. That's where Barney Hall grew up, in Elkin, North Carolina. Joined the Navy, saw the world, became a radio man and a diver in the Navy, and then went back home and started becoming the DJ at the only radio station in town. Dick said to Barney, man, what a life you've had. You know, I feel like you'd be ready to go. If it was time for your life to end today, you'd be ready to go. And Barney always joked, well, yeah, I guess so. Well, then right about that time, the plane was struck by lightning. David Pearson is a ice water in his veins race car driver. He's going to land the plane. Dick Brooks is a race car driver. He's like, well, we'll figure this out. Barney Hall's a radio man. He started physically trying to claw his way out of the plane. And so whenever Dick Brooks, David Pearson, or Barney Hall ever told this story, Pearson in particular likes to say, it turns out we thought Barney was ready to go. He was not ready to go quite yet. And Barney always replied, not that day, because I didn't have a ticket.
Did you immediately think of this story when you learned that Barney Hall had died earlier this week?
I did. People like myself who grew up listening to Barney Hall, you know, he's one of these voices. It's the soundtrack of your life.
Richard Petty is used to pressure. It's been on him ever since he's been in stock car racing. He came into a winning car. He told me once he was one of the luckiest drivers in racing. He said almost from the time he began his driving career, he had as good a ride as you could get in the business. His father, Lee.
Part of what made Barney so great at his job was he was a storyteller. And so while everyone else is screaming and yelling and covering the race, Barney would do that. But Barney would also punctuate his broadcasts with those stories, you know, humanizing these seemingly inhuman stock car racing heroes. And he always had a punchline. And that's why he was so beloved. And that's why the NASCAR community is a very sad place this week.
You have written about him in such a way that he really seemed to have a soft spot for the little guy. Is that about right?
Yeah. If there was a team that he knew had been struggling, you know, a Bear Buckets team that was trying to keep up with the Richard Pettys and the David Pearsons and the Dale Earnhardts of the world, if that car managed to make its way into the top 10, even if they just had a good pit stop, Barney would always say, give a call to Dave Marcus, or give a call to J.D. Stacy, give a call to somebody, you know, because he always was looking out for those teams that he knew were working probably twice as hard as the big money teams just to make the race.
You have also written, Ryan, he was auto racing's answer to Red Barber or Vin Scully. While others shouted over the action, he described the action as if he was reading us all the greatest bedtime story ever.
Getting a little bit personal out there between some of these drivers right now as the sheet metal began to get wrinkled up and getting some paint spread all over it from different cars.
How does an announcer working NASCAR do that? It's loud there, man.
I don't know. And you're talking to someone, you know, I do TV live shots from all these racetracks all the time, and I have to shout because that's the only way my voice is going to cut through the loudest sport in the world. But Barney, just his voice just cut right through it. And I can remember it as a kid, and everybody's shouting over everything all the time. And then Barney would just, and give a call to so-and-so. And it would just cut through those race cars and you know, it cut through to people. And that's why they always felt a connection with him all those years and all those races that he broadcasts.
You can link to Ryan McGee's ESPN article, Barney Hall Left an Indelible Mark on NASCAR and Broadcasting, at onlyagame.org. Ryan, thanks very much for speaking with me.
Yes, sir. Anytime.